Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone, on a beautiful fall day. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by HappyTrees.co, great full-service tree company, and Denver Synergenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan.
And we'll be bringing in a new sponsor, Mountain West Wellness, and they're a great acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine team, and we'll have the main man here on the show for
Friday. Just to talk about that. So, and also coming up later at 3:30, we're going to be talking to a Park County Commissioner candidate, Dave Whistle. We had him on last week, and he explained how the rhinos there were bizarrely running against him. It's like, why on earth would they be doing that? He's got some updated information on that, so we'll be talking
some
to
good
him.
News. Actually.
Yeah, good news. And they're still working against him, but
no,
he's,
they are. Yeah.
Yeah, they are, but he's fighting a good fight. So we'll be talking about that. But wanted to start off talking about. Basically, some of the Senate races, some of the financial news going on today, and how it all ties together. As you know, OPEC had a meeting today. They could have met a different time, but they decided to meet now. And the White House was pressuring them, begging them, groveling them, offering them ice cream, you name it, to go ahead and not cut oil production. And OPEC said, I think we're going to cut oil production.
And more than expected.
They cut
it 2 million barrels a day. And this is notwithstanding the fact that Biden was happy to spend all our money to buy back oil from OPEC at heightened prices, 200 million barrels it was willing to hire. And so, you know, that covers a lot of days. You know, that's 100 days that would
have been
cover.
Better.
Yeah. And all they really had to do was get past the midterms. That's all he wanted. He didn't want prices to go up this month in the lead up to the midterms. But OPEC just going,
We don't like you, Joe Biden. And then that's fist bump again. Yeah. Remember when he fist bumped the crown
Emma,
prince?
I'm not sure.
That just seems somewhat inappropriate. And I think we can talk about, first, the financial implications, but I think the political implications to me. And feel free to weigh in. If you're on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself, or you can go ahead and comment, or you want to call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. But I think this is a huge slap in the face to the Biden administration. I mean, do you think this would have happened if Trump was president?
I don't think any other president would have this happened. I mean, if you beg that much for that little, just, you know, delay it so I get past my midterms. And they go, nah.
Well, and it's not like it was a shock. I mean, they've sort of, you know, before, when the president, they made the big deal, he was going to go visit and he was hopeful for stuff, and Saudi was like, no, I don't think you should be that hopeful about anything. We're not going to do anything different. So why the Biden administration would put the United States in this humiliating position of groveling once again to Saudi Arabia and OPEC and have them go, no, we're just going to even make it worse than you thought. And by the way,
take that in your midterm.
Yeah. And we get that that's probably good for Russia, right? And
yeah,
so, you know,
it's
great news for Russia, good news for China, bad news for the US. And the worst thing about it is a self-inflicted injury. All Biden has to do is allow the United States oil and gas production to go back up where it was. And we don't need, OPEC can do whatever they want, and we don't care, right? So in the meantime, though, what's he doing? He is taking another
10 million.
From the strategic oil reserves. This is the lowest level of the oil reserve since 1984. So that should be great, because Saudi Arabia, I'm sure, is, it's a supply and demand thing. It's like they've got the world over the barrel because of U.S. stupid green energy decisions
and Europe.
And all of a sudden now it's like, okay, you guys are stupid enough to do all that.
Thank you.
Winter's
Appreciate
coming.
It.
So yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it. And I think we're going to raise it even more. Do you think? We'll cut it even more, raising prices even more. If you're OPEC, it's like, this is what we do,
Well, but it's just, you know, I'm not. So everything is aimed to the midterm. So our foreign policy is and everything else. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, let me just go read some of the comments real quick. Sandra says that Biden, as Jack, closed our pipelines. USA companies could be selling oil to other countries. Yeah, exactly, Sandra. We could be not only supplying our own country, we could be making money as well. Plus, we also have another Ask Jack here in Colorado called Polis. Exactly. And Johnny J running for HD5 says, you know, weak Brandon is what we need. Mm-hmm. LOL. Let me I want to talk more about this because it comes on top of other bad economic news. Mortgage rates are now at the highest level in 16 years. What they had, mortgage rate now is at 6.75%. It had been, can you imagine that?
Mortgages for that.
Been at 3.7. So I saw a thing, they're talking about it, home sales in Colorado just plummeting, yes, right? Yeah. I mean, it was selling before you even, you know, put it on the market. Now it's taking at least a month.
And you have to cut prices. They're cutting prices around here. Because I check that.
Well, and what the situation is so the same, if you bought, say, a house for a certain amount, right? The same house today with the mortgage rate would be 78% more. Your mortgage payment would be. Yeah, the payment would be. I mean, that's massive, right? Yeah. And again, thank you, Biden. You know, I mean, all of this, when the energy prices go up, it's all interconnected. Food prices go up. Gasoline prices. I paid $3.55 today in Westminster. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy it today. I
didn't fill up.
Because who knows what's going to happen. But I mean, then fertilizer prices go up, transportation, everything goes up. I mean, when energy prices go up and they go up this much, and it is all self-inflicted. And you got to ask yourself, and we'll get into the Senate thing, why? Okay. But I mean, why are they doing this? It would be an easy fix. I mean, if Chuck and Julie...
Well, it's not an easy fix now because the midterm, you couldn't turn up production in 30 days. So it's not easy.
It's not an easy fix. Right. But I mean, we could fix it. Biden could simply get rid of his executive order that severely limited oil and gas production on federal lands. They could stop with all of the regulatory nonsense and allow oil and gas drilling to start occurring in the United States again, like it was doing when he had the cheapest gasoline, the cheapest energy prices. Remember, we were doing a show a few years ago after Trump became president talking about that it was kind of bad because oil was essentially at $0 a barrel, because of the energy
production.
Yeah, production. So we could do that. And if we can figure it out, you know, the Biden administration can figure it out.
They have figured it out. But they don't.
They don't want to. And you got to ask yourself, why would they not want to? And the answer is, as Blinken told us, the new liberal world order. They are perfectly willing to inflict pain, actual pain, to let businesses close, let businesses suffer.
Well, they were there too, for COVID, for everything else.
Right. They're perfectly willing to inflict pain on the American people to implement their agenda that is only going to make the rich people richer and all the rest of us poor. And they don't care.
No, they don't care.
Which leads us into the midterms.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Oh, gee, great. We got the midterms. It's been assumed that the Republicans will take the House, although the percentage on 538, which is a respected but left-leaning aggregator of polls, says a 70% chance of Republicans winning, down from 90. But on the Senate side, they now represent that almost 70% chance that the Senate will remain in Democratic hands. And so that's going to be interesting. Right now, if you take the seats that are not up or not considered toss-ups, Republicans are leading 47-46. So they have to win four of races.
Yeah, let me just kind of clarify that. So of the seats that are up for election that are considered safe in either party or just not up for re-election at all, so there are 46 solid Democrat seats, 47 solid Republican seats, which is really, when you consider that Kamala Harris could break any tie, sort of even, and there's 7 seats that they consider toss up to some degree or another, right?
Well, and there are also 2 seats on both the Republican Democratic side are leans Democrat or leans Republicans.
Colorado, by the way, is not one of the toss ups.
Yes, it is. Michael Dennett is a lean, not a toss up, he's kind of a lean state,
right?
Lean Democratic state. I don't think it is, quite frankly, but
you think it's solid?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the toss-up. First, Arizona. Kelly is the incumbent. Mark Kelly the husband of the woman who got shot. And he's been leading by a lot, but latest poll shows it 51-48 with not a whole lot undecided. So that's within the margin of error. So it's certainly a Democrat.
And it's Masters, right? There. Masters is the Republican. Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm. The next is Georgia Warnock. That has been considered. He's been in the lead. And now the left-wing press has gone berserk on
Herschel Walker
and claiming he paid for an abortion, not bringing a person forward, just an anonymous source saying it. And now they're claiming other things. He had three other kids. They got his son, Christian Walker, who's gay, to come out and denounce his father, which is nice. And he's really a little special piece of work. And then they're running every else thing. He didn't supervise these hospitals. Or he's dumb. And he says, well, why am I so dumb when I finish cohort the top of my class?
Well, you can tell they must think that it's close because they being the left media, the people supporting the Democrat are pulling out all the stops with an incredibly negative campaign. It sounds like this abortion thing has been floating around out there for about a year. So this is clearly their attempt at an October surprise. I don't think it's going to work. I remember when they released Donald Trump.
It did work for against Ray Moore in Alabama. They got a Democrat elected who lost when he ran it on his own separately. But these attacks, particularly in southern states, tend to work. We had Ted Trimpa, our friend, and he came up
with a strategist.
Said, in Republican districts, you just have to accuse them of immorality and the folks will just go fleeing away. They tried as hard as they could with Trump and it failed. So whether it'll work here or not, I don't know.
I would toss this out. I wonder if it will have that much of an impact, because I think so many people, when you combine that with the number of people across the board, really Republicans, Democrats, independents, who don't trust the media at all. Right. And who are so used to these screaming attacks constantly. I mean, the left has been so hostile and aggressive in some of these attacks that I think at a certain point it starts to become just a bit of white noise. Right. And so I think it'll be interesting to see if it makes that much difference.
As they said in one of the Washington Post articles, and they're doing these articles and not putting them behind paywalls. Even if a small percentage of the pro-life people turn on Herschel Walker, it'll make all the difference in the world.
They're not going to vote for Warnock.
Well, that's what they're hoping he will, or at least they won't vote at all or vote for a third candidate. But Warnock, assume the charge is true. You're going to get somebody elected who will vote against pro-life Supreme Court, as opposed to somebody who will vote for pro-life. The Republicans are the party of stupid. But hopefully they're not that stupid.
Right. Oh, and here, this is from Jim Jackson looking at, we need actually a plus 10 to overcome Democrat cheating.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Okay. Yeah. So
that's, I'd say Warnock's favorite there, but who
in
knows?
Georgia, but yeah.
Hassan is the incumbent senator in New Hampshire, not terribly popular. Bodleck was a Trump supported one.
He's a
Republican, and he's been way behind in the polls. The last one was also within 3 points. So that may be changing. North Carolina, Bud was leading. It's an open seat. Take Burr's seat. He was leading by 2 and 3. But
the
now
Democrat.
It's down to he's a Republican.
Oh, the Republican. OK.
But now he's down to leading by 1. So that's incredibly close. Nevada, Cortez Masto is a Democrat incumbent. And the Republican has been gaining enormous ground there, the former governor, Adam Laxalt. And so right now, Laxalt is ahead, but it's within that margin of error. Pennsylvania, you've got Fetterman versus Oz. Fetterman opened with huge leads. Now it's within the margin of error. I have trouble believing that Fetterman actually is a very great candidate, but anyway, it's
Democrat, right? They're hoping they just vote party, right?
Well, actually, the party registrations have been changing in Pennsylvania. It's still majority Democrat, but in a lot of places, it's becoming more and more Republican. I would say that's a toss up. And the last one is Ron Johnson, who they got to He was a Republican who has terrible approval ratings in Wisconsin, but seems to win. He's opened up a small lead. And so you got seven of those cases, and they're all could be won by Democrats, all could be won by Republicans. On the lean Democratic side, you have Patty Murray in Washington, a woman named Smiley, seems to have been closing in. I can't believe that Washington will go Republican, but in Oregon, the Republican gubernatorial race candidate is leading. So mm-hmm. The other lean Democrat is Bennett, our guy, I don't think that's a lean. I don't think that's actually a close race, but they say it lean. On the Republican side, Rubio, although he's opening up bigger and bigger lead,
right?
And Ohio, Vance seems to be doing all right. And so I think I'm confident, vaguely confident those
two. The lean Republicans will stay. Yeah. Well, I think you're probably right. It looks like the lean Republicans, at least what we know right now, probably will stay Republican or go Republican, mm-hmm. and the lean Democrats will go. Well, let me ask you this. Because what you're talking about that's interesting is a trend, which as we get closer and closer to the election, I think is something to really keep an eye on. And so in all of these races, it's been tightening up. Now, could that be partially that the poll companies basically are playing games up until, it kind of gets close to the wire, and then they don't want to look like idiots, so they start doing more honest polling?
To do that, little more toward November, although places like Colorado, it's not 38 days to the election, it's a week and a half or a week before the people start going in. And the polls have been wrong. The polls were incredibly wrong in 16 and 18 and 20, all undercounted Republican voters. So who knows?
So here's what I'll say about that. That's because I kind of think that a couple of things could be going on. One, after, Labor Day, the kids are back in school, et cetera, et cetera. I think traditionally people start thinking more about the election now. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you might have people paying attention where before they might have just been saying whatever in the polls. And now actually people are paying attention. And so they're actually giving more thoughtful answers. And then you look at the continuing deterioration of the economy and the crime situation. And those consistently come out as the two biggest topics for people in the election, abortion down on the list. And so, while maybe initially after the Roe versus Wade thing, the Democrats got a bounce from the abortion thing. Now people are like, okay, I can't afford to put gas in my car. So that matters to me more. And the other thing I think, and we could maybe I'd get your, because we talk about the polls a lot, because Chuck loves polls. He obsesses over polls. And if you're a polling company, I would ask you guys to think that, because they do it by phone anymore. Nobody has a landline. So they're not calling people on landlines.
They do it all different methods.
Well, right.
A lot of them have a portion of it that's by email. Others have one on you just go on the site. So the traditional method is just to do phone calls, and that's considered the most reliable. But over time,
Think about it. When was the last? If you see, I don't hardly ever, right? And I don't know if the polling companies are to come across as potential spam or not. But I think there are a ton of people who they look at the number and they don't recognize it, and they just don't answer the phone, right? I also think, given the fact that we now have 87,000 new IRS agents, we got the FBI raiding every conservative, in the universe, seizing their cell phones and things. If you were getting a call from a stranger and they asked you, some of these questions, would you answer? I just think there are a lot of Republicans who would just like click and hang up. So I think it's going to be getting harder and harder, number one, for polling companies to actually get people in the first place, right? And secondly, I think it's got to be getting harder and harder for them to get Republicans to give them straight answers.
Well, in theory, you'd factor that into your polling
Right. But when you've only had two Republicans, and you've got 5,000 Democrats, because I think this also, I think the polling companies, they don't want to talk about that because this is how they make their money, right? The last thing they want to have to do is tell candidates and tell all these other people, actually, we're making all of this stuff up, right? This whole thing is bogus and we're just flying by the seat of our pants and giving our best guesses. We're guesstimating. They don't want to say that. And so I'm just wondering more and more if there is a de-evolution, is that the right word, of the polling companies that they don't want to talk about. And so, which is why they're getting things wrong. I just think that could be a factor too.
It could be. If you want to be on the optimistic side for Republicans, the Gallup, who I really think tries pretty hard to play it
straight,
has shown an enormous shift in voter preference. It's now, the Republicans are now up 7 points.
And that's just a generic question. Who do you prefer generically, mm-hmm. Republicans or Democrats?
They ask it slightly differently. They ask, who do you party you trust on the main issues that are important to you and stuff. But
okay,
it's, you know, not too long ago, it was the Democrats are ahead. So that's, I think, an enormous sign pro the Republicans.
Well, like you said, we look at all of the trending things, right? And things are trending toward Republicans, but you take
there's good news for either side or bad news for either side. Cook reported just moved 10 races, 7 toward the Democratic side and only 3 for the Republican side. And they try to be pretty straightforward. And so there's good news or bad news even for each party, depending on which. Gallup is one I trust a lot. So I would think that they're,
we put more credibility.
Yeah, I put a lot more credibility in them.
Well, let me ask about this and see what you guys think on this. So Lauren Boebert, the Denver Post is doing everything it can to destroy her. First, they did this total hit piece on her, calling her a Christian nationalist. Like what? And then interviewing experts who said that was bad.
Experts. So they didn't even identify the experts.
Right. No, they didn't identify that. Nor did they actually explain what a Christian nationalist is. Is that a person who lives in America who believes in God and somehow that's bad? But at any rate, so they attacked her. Then they went out and did a story attacking the citizens of her district, saying it's Boebert country. And now they're all over the place with a poll commissioned by her opponent that shows him narrowing the gap, coming in within striking distance. And I'm like, what? Do you know what I mean? I don't buy that for a second. I don't think there is anything that has indicated in recent months that for some reason the 3rd Congressional District has decided they don't like Lauren Boebert, right? I mean, I think she's got huge support there. And I think this is just an attempt by the media and by the opponent's campaign to try to manipulate people. I don't know. Either that or maybe it's people to galvanize people to go vote for Lauren, saying,
well,
hey, look,
having a poll like that helps in volunteers, it helps in fundraising, it helps. And when it's hyped, an internal poll is hyped by the Denver Post and the Colorado Politics and all the other left-wing sites, then it's going to be helpful for her. Will it actually change the dynamics of the race? I don't think so, but I guess we'll find out. It is fascinating. The Democratic control of the media has been so critical for them. I mean, they were able to defeat Roy Moore by running a bogus claim against him that eventually won an $8 million libel suit, but
Lost the race. I think, and that is another factor too. I think that there are several factors in 2022 that were not there in 2020, or that were factors there, but are bigger factors now. So for instance, you see with Rasmussen, sort of across the board, the majority of people, and it gets it, particularly even in young people, do believe that in 2020, there was cheating in the election. Now they don't say who cheated or was it Russia or was it, they just said that they thought there was cheating in the election. So there are questions about that. I think that the distrust in the media has reached, historic levels, right? I mean, to the point where, like I say, I think a lot of Republicans don't bother talking to the media, right? I mean, you look at, look what they're doing to Heidi Ganahl over this whole furry issue, right? I mean, they're just so biased and people don't trust them. So I think they're not able to play up the Herschel Walker story to the level that they would like. And in the meantime,
I mean, it's a full out New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC assault. I mean, they're just going wild.
But their audience size is right. And in the meantime, some of the conservative media sites and the conservative blogs and the conservative podcasts, I mean, are getting bigger. And Facebook.
Well, yeah, you can always count on some idiot from Fox saying, "Oh, Herschel, this is terrible. Your son's killing you." You go, shut up.
Well, I mean, his son. I mean, how many people subscribe? I mean, Republican voters in Georgia subscribe to Herschel Walker's son's Instagram account. I would think not a lot. I don't know. I just think that
I've gotten to see it. So, they're pushing it out as far and as much as they can.
Yeah, I agree. But all I'm saying is I think that there is I don't even distrust, but more than distrust, just like ignoring, right? Just ignoring the media reports or having him say it doesn't make any difference to me. So you've got that going on.
Well, we'll find out.
Well, yeah, exactly. The final poll will be the poll.
Well, they came out one today with Warnock ahead 12 points. You go, sure. Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, they're all over the place. No, but I mean, you know, when the actual vote is counted again.
Well, who knows about that?
As Johnny says.
Yeah, Fulton County, sure.
You got to take all that with a grain of salt too.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll keep it. All right. We got the comments. Oh, they were back on the thing. Sandra was saying the windmills are uglier than heck. Just look at Northern Colorado and Iowa along Interstate 80.
Yeah,
and let's talk about Herschel Walker's son. Okay. I see that we've got Dave Whistle with us again. Hey, Dave, is your mic on? You're ready to go?
I think so. Let me try that for you.
Yes, you are.
Good.
You are ready.
Good.
Okay. So we had you on earlier in another day in the program. You're the Republican candidate for county commissioner in Park County.
Won the Republican primary.
Won the Republican primary.
And it's a Republican leaning county, hasn't voted for a Democrat's president since Lyndon Johnson, 1964.
And you have been extremely active in politics. You've been the assessor. You're a well-known community member. You know, this is not your first rodeo. And we were talking about how the rhinos, and including the person who is Dick Elsner, who's the treasurer of the Colorado Republican Party, and his wife, who is the Park County Republican chairperson, are actively campaigning not only against you, but for the Democrat, which is outrageous. But you,
who's a liberal school teacher, social justice warrior.
And you have, and I'll let you explain it, but some new information about a campaign complaint that you filed. And why don't you tell us about that and what's the latest with that?
Well, thanks, Chuck and Julie, for the time here. We were attacked right out of the Democrat playbook by the Elsners. That's their MO. And anyone who challenges the king shall be canceled. So we've been through this experience before. I had a hit piece mailer, anonymous mailer, no to Dave Whistle, mailed in 2018 on my assessor's race. I had a very, very similar piece mailed again in the 2022 late primary, same no to Dave Whistle people, anonymous, no tracer reports, no paid for by. And they dreamed up things I didn't even know were possible.
That's funny,
so,
really, yeah.
You know, I had that happen to me in 18. You know, it was fate for me. I lost by 21 votes in that primary to the sitting incumbent assessor, which was great. I accepted it and moved on. You know, I went into the private sector. I was enjoying myself, but I saw the county in a bad place. So to finish this up, they did another hit piece similar to the content of the original 2018 piece, as well as some new stuff they dreamed up. So we waited for a while, and finally on August 31st, I filed a complaint with the Secretary of State because anonymous hit piece mailers are illegal electioneering.
Okay.
Under the law. I decided that no one had taken credit. I won the primary. I kept looking at tracer reports for my Ray Douglas campaign opponent and all the other folks that were there. And there never was any accountability for that mailer. Now, we live in a small community, so we know a lot of things.
Yeah.
From the grapevine. So I have lots of information that I will not disclose until it's time. But we just heard today from the Secretary of State back on that complaint. First of all, they accepted the complaint as valid. They said it was a violation of state law and illegal electioneering, and they would pursue it. They gave the complaint was filed against the entire Republican Central Committee, the Executive Committee, and select elected officials.
Of Park County.
In Canada, of Park County.
Right.
These were all the wonderful, supportive people who are working for the Democrat in Park County.
These are the rhinos, yeah.
So today I got an email, which I provided to both of you, from the Secretary of State saying that the response from our collectives in the Park County Social Club was inadequate, and they would continue to go further and pursue the investigation. They then sent a secondary email with the responses from the social club, and I haven't had a chance to look at all of it, But it's really amazing because every response is virtually the same. They didn't know anything. They just all became Sergeant Schultz.
I see nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing.
I know nothing. I see nothing. Nothing's here.
And again, just to emphasize and underscore the point, so these are not Democrats who are doing dirty mailers on you. These are Republicans. And not only just Republicans, it's the Republican, the officials in the Republican Party for Park County. So these aren't just like some guy down the street who happens to be a Republican who doesn't like you. These are the party officials. You believe and suspect, and the Secretary of State has enough evidence to continue investigating this, are actively working against you. I mean, that in itself has got to be a violation of some kind of bylaw. Well, I guess you're right. No, there wasn't, right? Because who would have dreamed that would ever happen?
Well, you know, people have to do what they think they have to do. In one really crazy, strange way, I'm flattered by all the negative energy they're throwing in my direction. I question why they're fighting so hard for one commissioner seat. I mean, why would you destroy completely the local Republican Party to keep a liberal Democrat at your beck and call? I mean, we have to consider the people that really run the place are over-the-top narcissists. And they've had total control for 5 years, and they're not willing to give it up. Yeah. I want to open the curtains and put sunlight on county government here in Park County, because we have some really big questions that we don't have very good answers for. And I think that our Citizens Budget Advisory Committee, we take the whole county budget, peel it back like an onion. How do you find out how an onion's good? You peel the whole thing back. So that's my whole goal. My whole strategy is the budget. Everything begins and ends with the budget. I'm a numbers guy as an appraiser. My music background as a drummer allows me to work well and play well with others.
Well, it seems to me you're right. The obvious suspicion is that there's something going on budget-wise that they are desperate
to keep hidden.
And you said to the extent that they're willing to destroy the Park County Republican Party. Now, you would think, does the overall Colorado Republican Party have anything to do with this? Or I know sometimes that there are separations. Would they even have anything to do with this?
Well, we've had our Patriots, as I spoke with you on Friday, that did file a complaint through the bylaws, through the procedures of those in place, went to Christy Burton Brown, and Christy Burton Brown said, well, you know, this is just, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So look, I don't have any faith in the hierarchy and the brain trust. I've seen it. I've been on the inside of it. I understand how it works. You know, my goal, folks, is just to do the best I can for the people in this county. And I'm committed to do that. And I am going to see this through. And I believe we're going to win.
I would hope so. Well, and you know, and the sad thing is, although this seems to be a pretty extreme case, I mean, we hear all the time about other counties where this same kind of thing is going on, where you have, you know, on the one hand, the rhinos, like Dick Wadhams, who'll be upset that I call him a rhino again, but who say, you know, no way will I vote for Ron Hanks. I won't vote for Ron Hanks if he's a Senate candidate
or any of them.
And then turn around and say, you guys are wrong and you're being disloyal because you won't vote for Joe O'Day. You know, and then these same people turn around. And again, it's not just enough to say, oh, well, I guess we lost a primary, so now we're going to support Dave Whistle and do our best to get him elected because, hey, at least it's a Republican, right? They're not even, and it's worse than that. They're not just sitting silently. They're not just not helping. They're actively working against it. They're spending time and money. I'd be curious where they got that money to try to make sure that a fellow Republican doesn't get elected. It's just insanity.
We did force them into creating a committee. I think the complaint had something to do with that, because we now have Republicans for Girardeau, paid for by Girardeau. And we have a new issues committee formed by my replacement in the assessor's office, these concerned citizens for Park County, which includes the Elsners et al. It's the whole group, as you saw in the response from the individual members. It's Sergeant Schultz all over. We don't know what you're talking about. We would never do that, but yet they're doing it.
Yeah. It's like, well, what do you make of it? Did you ever think because as you said, you know, and you explained before, you've been involved in politics there and in community life there for years and years. Did you ever see this coming, or what do you think is going on now that makes it so awful?
Well, I think it's just the total lack of respect for the process and individuals' differences of opinion. We can agree to disagree and not go to war. That's what this whole representative republic experiment is in self-governance. I have been in the seat of governance. I know how to govern. I feel comfortable governing. I have an aptitude for local government and how it works. But I also have the view of the private sector and how can we make that work for the folks? How can we not be so onerous and so elite that we impose our will and our ideas and thoughts on those who don't think the same way?
Right.
And there's a lot of dissatisfaction amongst us and around us and within us, because a lot of times we don't sit down to listen to the other guy. I've been deaf in my left ear since I was 5 years old. Okay. I can read your lips very well, and I have to listen closely, because if I don't listen, I will not hear you. Now, sometimes that comes in handy. Okay. My wife says I have complete selective hearing, and when I'm not supposed to hear, I do, and when I'm supposed to hear, I don't. So, you know, but look, I'm only in this to do the right thing. I don't need another ribbon. I don't need a title. I don't need a pat on the back. I know what I need to do, and that's why I'm doing this. That's the only reason I'm stepping up, is to do the right thing.
All right.
You know, integrity, teamwork, fight for what's right. That's my whole campaign right there.
All right. Well, Dave, where can, if people want to help, can you give us your website so people can?
Yes, ma'am. Please visit whistle4parkco.com and help us out here, because we are fighting an uphill battle. It's, you know, it's hard enough to fight the Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney. Now we've added Adam Kinzinger from the Republican wings of our party now in Park County, as is expanded into those elected and appointed officials. So anything you people can do out there, I'm going to depend on you. It is up to you to help us win this. No one else can do it except the individual voters of Park County. And I humbly ask for your support.
All right. Dave, great to talk to you, Dave.
Keep us posted, okay? Anytime, and we'll get updates on this, because it'll be interesting to get to the bottom of it.
Thank you so much. Bless you all.
Thank you. All right, Dave Whistle there. I mean, that's just, like I say, that's just outrageous. You know,
it's right out of the playbook. That's with Mike Kaufman when he was U.S. congressman. He certainly went after everybody who might be a challenge to him, and his you know, he comes across as a nice guy, but of course all the people who work for him were just the opposite.
That's right. And just a few of the comments got from Johnny J running for HD5. God bless this guy, keep fighting. Sandra agrees. And Dr. Donna says, thank you for speaking up and out, and any suggestions as to how you speak to those who believe their way to be the only right way. You know, Dr. Donna, I don't think you can. I mean, it you know, if people aren't even willing to, I think we all, in a way, believe that our way is the right way, right? Otherwise, we would believe differently. But there has to be at least an agreement to sort of live and let live, to go ahead to agree to disagree. And what's going on with the left, and apparently some of the rhinos in Park County, is it's not enough to agree to disagree. They need to shut you up, silence you, crush you, and launch attacks against you so that you don't say what you think, which is, you know, that will never work in a free society. And I think the thing is, don't you think, Chuck, they've gone so far in their attacks, the snowflakes and just that, the kind of things they pull, that I think it's becoming less effective, except for the really scary part, the FBI, the Department of Justice, getting involved in things. You know, we saw the American Medical Association asked the Department of Justice to start investigating and prosecuting and imprisoning people who question or raise complaints about the radical gender surgeries, right? Mm-hmm. And I submitted to you last time, and I still believe this, it's going to be just like the School Board Association situation, where initially the School Board Association took flack for asking the Department of Justice to investigate parents. Then it turns out the Department of Justice ask the school board to send in a letter. I'm going to bet the Department of Justice asked the American Medical Association to send them the letter, so now they can start attacking people for that.
Oh, well, it is full out war. I mean, there's no question about it. And convincing Democrats that they're wrong is really, you're just not talking in the same box. And, you know, if they believe the world's going to end because of global warming, then it makes total sense to destroy the U.S. economy to save the world.
Well, they don't even believe that, though. Well, I mean, what they believe the cult, but what they believe is that they're going to get really rich while the rest of us suffer. It's exactly like that movie, Don't Look Up, where all the elites know the meteor's coming and everything's going to hit them, and they're not worried about it because they got a spaceship that they're getting out of town on. It ends badly for them, but I think that's what they think, right? They're going to be on their super yachts and their private jets, using up all the oil that remains, and they don't care that we don't have enough to heat our homes, or that if it does, I mean, one of the headlines on the local news earlier this week is starting October 1st, Xcel energy prices are going up, right?
Well,
in part because we have to pay for all the windmills and solar and things like that. It's like, we got coal, but nope, can't do that. You see the coal trains going down the road, right? They're not stopping here because we can't have that. Thank you, Jared Polis.
Well, let's talk about a fun thing. I guess not a fun thing, but a non-serious. Well, I guess not, none of those. Tom Brady's divorce. I mean, it's just amazing. Tom Brady, you know, up until I don't know how many months ago it was, but all you'd read about is one big happy family, his kid from his prior girlfriend Monahan, but they're all one big happy family, and they co-parent with Jack and everything else. And you look at a couple who has all the money in the world, all the adoration in the world, everything should be perfect, right? I mean, what is to prevent them from having a happy life? I mean, they've got health, they got money. I guess so.
I guess you're right. I hadn't even thought of it in those terms. You're right. I mean, they're both incredibly healthy, incredibly successful. They do seem like sort of nice people in their own way. It seems like they're doing a good job with the kids. They've got houses in Costa Rica, building multi-million mansions in Florida. You're kind of like, what's to complain about?
Right.
And here's the thing. I know people say, well, see, that just shows that money can't buy happiness, but somebody should let us try.
Right? We're willing to be the experiment.
We'll be willing to be the experiment and see if we're become less happy or more happy.
Let you all know, just send $10 to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Yeah. I don't know. On one hand, and we're totally digressing into, gossip, TMZ kind of thing. But
it's all over the place. TMZ. But you can't go on Fox News.
Right.
You can't go on anything.
She's not wearing the wedding ring.
But you explain, you do often when you go to work out. So.
Well, yeah. Well, I would say that. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I wear the wedding band, but sometimes, I mean, she was working out and they said she didn't have a wedding ring on. But I think there are a lot of people who don't wear their wedding ring if you're doing weights and things like that, because it could scratch it. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I don't know. It's not funny. Actually, it's sad. I hope they can work it out.
No. Everybody says they can't work it out now. It's too late. The divorce lawyers are in on it.
Oh, God.
And they say that with all the money that's involved, you know, it'd be very difficult divorce. You kind of go, no, all it means is they can pay their lawyers more to screw up their lives, because with all that money, they don't need money. You know, money is not a concern.
Well, my guess would be she's, 42? I have to imagine that to be a professional athlete performing at that level, a lot of their life has to be about him, you know,
and she's used to life about her.
Right. Well, I mean, I've been married for a while and I imagine that was okay with her for a certain point, and he's gone a lot. I imagine they just, sadly, I mean, I've been divorced. Like, what happens with people, you know, you grow apart, stuff happens, you fall out of love. And you know, she's probably, that would be my guess. I get the impression that she's instigating it. He's not,
I've noticed that when a woman wants to get a divorce, they usually have a reserve back.
I don't know. I think guys do that too.
Well,
Sandra's like, I don't follow football anymore. Does Brady still play? Yes, Sandra, that's
at 45.
That's the bone of contention there. Apparently he was going to retire. Well, he did retire last year and they were like, yay. And she was like, good, this is what I've been waiting for. And then he unretired. So he's back playing for Tampa Bay. They're not doing that well. And she, who knows? One hand, I can tell you this, because whenever they quote the sources and their friends, their real friends are not talking to the the Daily Mail, or if they are, they're not real friends, right? Mm-hmm. The people that Tom Brady and his wife, whatever her name is, are confiding in, who are close enough to be confiding in, aren't like calling up, oh my God, you won't guess what Tom Brady just said to me, you know? So I don't know.
Well, Leo says Tiger Woods ex sent her a 9-iron.
Oh, there we go. And everybody goes around. So, I know this sounds corny, but I hope they work it out. They seem like kind of nice people going through a rough time. And I hope that they can work it out. Unlike Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, my God.
About viciousness.
Oh, my God.
She's filing court papers talking about him
choking
the kids and stuff like that. It sounds like a very bad argument, which he, of course, denies.
She wouldn't make it up, would she?
Well, that's what he says. He's like, every time, she had plenty of time to bring this up at the custody hearing.
Yeah.
And then she watched Amber Heard. No, I don't know what the truth is, obviously, there either way. But that seems to be getting vicious. So hopefully the Bradys are looking at that and say, let's not go down that road. Okay,
let's not go down the Walker. Herschel Walker's son road. Let's not go. I mean, humans are made to be miserable.
No, they're not. They're made to be positive and joy and light filled. We're the ones who get in our own way. That's what I think.
Well, I know we get in our own way, but that's how God made us.
Actually giving some support to your thing, because I think we actually might get off a little bit early. Chuck has a thing to go to tonight, which we'll tell you about later.
Very important.
But on Friday, we are going to be talking about not light and joy, the massive increase in crime, which seems to be every day you turn around and there's another police shooting. And I'm like, I was thinking about this. I'm like, I can understand we got a lot more criminals out on the street, right? Mm. But I don't understand why police seem to be shooting people more. And I'm doing some research on this, and it appears that they are, at least in Colorado. And you know, we passed all these police reform bills theoretically to put a stop to that. And you know, I mean, police officers are now getting charged with crimes and things. So we're going to be talking to Mark Poff about that. Because I thought he had a good, and again, a new report came out, the George Brockler, Mitch Morrissey, on, you know, if you think.
From the Common Sense Institute.
Right. Crime is rising in Colorado. And we're not just talking about violent crime. We're talking about property, the kind of crimes that affect people, right? Everybody, the property crimes, drug crimes, things
Sandra
like that.
Sandra says, good Lord, what the heck is going on? I'm hearing there are fuzzies on the streets of Denver.
Not fuzzy, Sandra, furries. They're furries. No, yeah, there furry. You go. She corrected it. Sorry. Not fuzzies, furries. Well, that's been around for, furries have been around forever. It's just become big news because Heidi Ganahl mentioned it. It's not an aside, but she was just saying schools are out of control. And the Denver Post is now interviewing every school district who says, we do not have furries in our school, like they're going to say that they do.
Well,
right.
It's that it's one like, furry group.
Right. No, I mean, but it's
okay. The principal's a furry, but no. He usually doesn't get the kids involved most of the time.
Anyway, we're going to sign off early because Chuck has a thing to go to. Like I said, you want to hear about this. You can talk about it on Friday.
Maybe
with Mark Poff talking about the crime. Thank you once again to Dave Whistle. Good luck to him in his battle. Yeah. Everybody on Zoom, chuckandjulie.com is a place to go for everybody.
Julie is working on our Friday Funny.
That's right. Love the Friday Funny. Thank you to the guys at Beep. Thank you to everybody.
Thank you to all you people. All you furries out there.
And the furries.
We love you.
We'll
love you. Bye-bye.
We'll see you Friday.